Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Today is Valentine's Day, and I hope that you who have a sweetheart are ready to shower that person with love and encouragement. And it's always a good idea, guys, to have a gift and a card and something special for your special someone to let them know how much you love them. Well, I wanted to read to you a very important passage of scripture from the Song of Solomon. He says in chapter 2, verse 15, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine and I am his." We want to talk about rekindling the romance in your marriage. That's something that many couples are missing today, and we are so in love when we get married, and then things start to fade away. As the old song says, "You don't bring me flowers anymore," from Barbara Streisand and whoever else sang that song. But to help me with this important discussion is my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And Dr. Chris...
You've already stumped me on that. Who did sing that?
Was it Kris Kristofferson? It might have been Kris Kristofferson.
I have no idea.
I think so. You hardly talk to me anymore when you come through the door at the end of the day. And, you know, it was just about, it was a pretty good song about what happens to so many couples, Chris, that they just, you know, like that other song says, you've lost that loving feeling. Mm-hmm. And so you taught the men a couple of weeks ago on as we go through that book, Disciplines of a Godly Man, you talked about the discipline of marriage and how to keep the home fires burning. I thought it was a great lesson. It was really kind of zeroed in. I know you didn't use that scripture in Song of Solomon chapter 2, but it was zeroed in on the little foxes that eat up the vineyard of love. And it's a slow fade, as that other song says. You know, we kind of just slowly drift away from our first love with our spouse, and then we wake up one morning and we're like two ships passing in the night. We're like roommates rather than marriage partners.
Yeah, you drift. And so even marriages that are strong and healthy and there's good compatibility, over time, if you don't work on that marriage, you're going to drift. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that causes divorce or causes conflict in marriage or just separation in marriage is inattentiveness, you know, indifference, apathy. It's like anything in life. If you stop paying attention to it, if you stop focusing on it, you become weaker and you begin to drift. And, you know, you talked about today being Valentine's Day. And, you know, some guys I hear of, just the other day, I heard someone say, "Oh, it's so commercialized. You know, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day," and real, you know, sarcastic about it. But it is also could be a good day to refresh your marriage and to put some focus back on your marriage. I know it is commercialized, so I see that angle, but it also could be a day where you really do focus on the love that God has given you with your spouse.
And I think that, you know, Debbie told me when we got married, and we talk about the five love languages, one of those love languages is gifts. Mm-hmm. And Debbie used to like gifts a lot more than she likes gifts now. It's not as big a deal to her. But let's face it, nobody ever says, "Why'd you get me a gift? I hate gifts."
Right.
I mean, everybody enjoys somebody thinking about them, sending them, whether it's a husband sending flowers or a wife sending something special to her husband, especially with a card that has some sweet words in there. So it's kind of words of affirmation and a gift and just an expression of love.
Yeah, so you took the time, you put some thought into it, and you took the time to actually do something for your spouse. I think that's what it has to do with, you know, just the effort that was made.
Well, Chris, when you talked about this this issue of marriage and keeping the home fires burning, and what do you do, you know, if your marriage has drifted, you use the passage from Revelation chapter 2 where Jesus said to the church in Ephesus these words, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Now, you and I said, well, that was not about marital
right.
love, but
right.
you can apply it to right. marital love. And so tell us how you applied that.
Yeah, just like the Ephesians 5 passage about Christ and the church, but it's also a marriage chapter, you know, Ephesians 5, mm-hmm. 21 through 33. So there's a great correlation between Christ and the church and between a husband and a wife. Mm-hmm. And I think marriage is the highest relationship outside of our relationship with God, other than our relationship with God, it's the highest form of relationship. And so the principles of relationship and marriage apply to any relationship. And in this passage about the church at Ephesus losing their first love, he tells them to remember your first love, to repent from turning away from your first love, mm-hmm. and then to take action, to do something to return to your first love. And so those are good principles for marriage, to remember your first love. And so we always talk about couples about the nostalgia, you know, remembering when you first fell in love, what mm-hmm. attracted you to your spouse?
Yeah.
You know, what drew you to your spouse first? What were the things that you did? What was your first date? What was the music playing at the time? Mm-hmm. Things like that, that brings that nostalgia. And then repent of just growing stale and putting other things ahead of your marriage. Mm-hmm. And then do things to return and strengthen your marriage. Mm-hmm. So do actions that you used to do. You know, things that you used to do. When you were dating, you used to do those long phone calls, mm-hmm. you used to send cute letters, you used to buy flowers, you know, like you said with the song, mm-hmm. Buy chocolates, jewelry, whatever it is. You used to do all those things. Go back to doing some of those same things, mm-hmm. you know, so that nostalgia could actually propel you, could actually motivate you to strengthen your marriage again.
Well, you had this first point when you were doing this with the guys a couple of weeks ago. Point number one, you had about how to bring back the romance. Pay attention again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very simple, mm-hmm. but it's something that it's kind of like, duh, how did I not know that? But a lot of guys don't. And we get so tunnel vision with our jobs or with the wife, maybe with the kids, and we're not paying attention to one another. And we're just kind of, doing, you know, that the roommate thing, and, mm-hmm. and we're two ships passing in the night, and we're co-parenting perhaps, uh-huh. but we're not really investing in each other's lives.
Well, and to take it a step further spiritually, we are naturally selfish. You know, we naturally are going to focus on ourselves and our own needs and our own wants, our own desires. And so our own selfishness and marriage is all about being selfless, mm-hmm. about thinking about yourself less, being humble. You know, so our own pride, our own thinking too highly of ourselves or too much about ourselves. And so we're talking about Philippians chapter 2, mm-hmm. which is all about humility, mm-hmm. and Christ humbling himself. And so Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. So regarding your spouse as more important than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so being humble, which is the opposite of pride.
Yeah.
Selfishness.
Well, okay, so pay attention again, and I liked how you said this, undivided attention.
Mm-hmm.
You challenged us, as we were listening to you, to have a 5-minute face-to-face, or 15-minute
15 minutes.
Face-to-face conversation with our spouse.
Uh-huh.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
Maybe not every day.
Now, 15 minutes is pretty minimum. That's what I tell couples, but I've heard authors and counselors say much longer, much more than that. But I think 15 minutes is doable. That's mm-hmm. a realistic expectation.
Now, are you saying that every day or just on a regular basis, maybe 3 times, 4 times a week?
I'd say on a daily basis. And, you know, Pastor Jeff, where it's really challenging is that stage of life where you have young children. Mm-hmm. Especially babies.
Yes.
You have a baby and your wife is exhausted. She's tired. You're both tired. You know, he's working. Maybe she's working also. And so you've really got to carve out time. And sometimes you have to carve out a specific time and maybe even a specific place that you're going to meet and you're going to talk. And specifically the wife, she needs eyeball to eyeball. You mm-hmm. know, she needs face-to-face communication. And so we are more... As men, we're more shoulder-to-shoulder activity-driven,
mm-hmm.
but she needs that eyeball-to-eyeball communication where you talk and then you listen, back and forth with mm-hmm. one another.
And listening is key. Well, we're talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder. Dr. Chris is the teaching pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. He does a lot of counseling. He's written a marriage book and does a lot of premarital counseling to help people prepare for marriage and then to have a great marriage. And Chris, just for our listeners that may not know about your story, so you have the unique perspective of being able to say to couples really in trouble, hey, I've been where you were.
Yes, yes. So I was in a marriage before my current marriage. I was in a marriage that ended very, very badly and so struggled in that marriage. So I know what it's like to be in a struggling marriage and the pain that causes. And
especially as a pastor.
Oh, and then as being serving in a church at the same time. And so I know what it's like to be in a hard, hard situation. And that situation did not turn out the way that I had prayed and hoped that it would. Mm-hmm. But God blessed my life after that with my current wife, Rochelle. And so...
That's got to be night and day for you.
Oh, it's like night and day. So I've experienced the very worst and I've experienced the very best mm-hmm. and the way that marriage is intended to be. Mm-hmm. And so obviously I'm much more compatible with my wife now, but we also have to continue to work on it. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we find, we have a lot of passion in helping couples to have the marriage that God intends them to have.
Okay, so Chris, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but when you look over the landscape of marriages, especially in the church, how many do you think, if you just had to kind of guess and eyeball it and spitball, how many do you think are more like your first marriage versus your second marriage?
That's a great question. Man, I don't know. That's a great question. I guess my answer would be a lot more than we think. There's probably a lot of, like, people probably had no clue how much I was struggling in my first marriage and mm-hmm. how much she was struggling and how much our marriage was struggling. And so people can hide it better than we realize. Mm-hmm. And so there's couples that we may look at in the church that we think are really healthy and strong, but behind closed doors, they're not.
Right. Now, from your perspective too, if you don't make a good choice in marriage, and obviously that wasn't a good choice, mm-hmm. you know, you were young and just didn't think that through. Even though you might say, okay, I know all these things to make marriage go, and I can do all these things and speak the love language and do all that, that doesn't necessarily mean that this is now going to be a good marriage.
Yeah, because marriage is two people, and so two individual people coming together to become one, two different family of origins, two different experiences, temperaments, everything different, coming to become one. And, you know, Romans 12:18 tells us to live it peace with everyone as far as it depends on us. Mm-hmm. So you could do everything you can on your side of the street, but the other person may still choose something different. Mm-hmm. And so there's no guarantee in marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you do X, Y, you know, X and Y and Z will happen.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Well, I've said this before to people, you know, divorce is always painful, mm-hmm. but it's not always sinful. Mm-hmm. God divorced Israel. That mm-hmm. wasn't a sin on God's part, and that was a sin on their part. Somebody's sinning in the marriage when the marriage ends in divorce. But you can have one partner that's, hey, I'm in this, I'm willing to do whatever, and the other just says, no, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I think that's why Jesus put the condition on it, except in the case of infidelity and mm-hmm. Adultery, you
right.
know, because that does happen. And there are also couples who are, one has completely abandoned the relationship.
Right.
And the other one wanted the marriage to work. And so now they have to carry that divorce label, you know, on them, mm-hmm. but they didn't want that. They didn't choose that. So at least one chose that, but not necessarily both.
Well, the title of your book that you and Rochelle wrote together is called Marriage Resurrection. Mm-hmm. And it is a book of hope for mm-hmm. couples that are, you know, that have had, they've let the foxes eat up the vineyard of love. And you might be in that boat as a listener, and you say, is there hope for me? And the answer is yes. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Chris and I, when we come back from the break, we're going to continue talking through how to get back that loving feeling, how to put the fires and get the fires burning again in your marital life. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, and we'll be right back after the break. Don't go.
going.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, and we're talking about how to keep the home fires burning, how to keep your marriage exciting, and if your marriage has cooled, especially on a day like today, Valentine's Day, this is a very timely topic as we talk about those things that you can do to catch the foxes, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards of love are in blossom. So Chris, we said number one, repent and do the deed you did at first, as we use that scripture verse in Revelation chapter 2, what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus. He could say to many marriages, hey, you've left your first love. Mm-hmm. You guys at the altar said you loved each other and you were in love, but now you've kind of lost that. You've lost that loving feeling.
Well, it's like God gave you your spouse as a gift. That's a gift from God. That's a blessing from God. There's people that are single, that have not been married yet, that want to be married desperately. There's people that have been divorced. There's people that are widowed that would love to have the marriage that you have. And so that's a blessing from God. Your spouse is a blessing from God. And so easily and so often we take things for granted that God has done for us and blessed us with.
Well, to bring back the romance and bring back the excitement, is it possible to have that? Yes, but you have to change some things. You mm-hmm. can't just do business as usual. You know, Chris, insanity, doing the same things over and over, expecting a different result. You're not going to get a different result. So we said number one was you pay attention again. And I love that challenge, undivided attention, 15-minute face-to-face conversation each day, or at least every other day, but you have to have that special one-on-one time.
And date nights, at least weekly date nights, annual getaways, you got to plan that out and make those things happen. You know, if you don't do that, time is just going to eat up all that time, so you've got to be intentional about planning dates, planning time, special times that you're going to do things together.
You know, I think that's what a lot of couples don't realize is if you're not intentional, if mm-hmm. you don't put in the work, it doesn't work.
Right.
Because it's like I didn't have to work at it before we were married. But you did a lot of the things that are necessary for that relationship to flourish. You talked, you mm-hmm. spent time together, you were not distracted with other things. And
the word would be pursuit, because you were pursuing him or her, mm-hmm. In those beginning stages. And now you've stopped pursuing. Mm. And so you've got to get back to pursuing again and seeing that person again as a blessing from God, but someone that you have to continue to pursue. And we're talking for a lifetime. So I love those couples that have been married like 60 years, but they're still pursuing each other. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in marriage crisis counseling, couples will come in and they'll say, he's not the same. He's changed. He's not the same person that he was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, of course he's not. It's 10 years later. Of course he's not the same person. So the people change and love changes. Right. And so you've got to change. You've got to pay attention
adapt
to that.
Right.
Adapt.
That's good. I like what you said here. Focus on your spouse's strengths, not your spouse's weaknesses. Chris, I've found that it's so easy to do that with people. When you first meet and fall in love, there's some weaknesses there, but you're not focused on those. It's all the strengths. It's right. how beautiful she is, how she smells so good. You love the sound of her voice, and she does this and this and this, mm-hmm. and it's so wonderful. But then you get married, mm-hmm. and you start to take those wonderful things for granted, and you start to really focus in on those weak areas that are not so wonderful.
And we all have those. We all have those weak areas. So it's hard on the radio to describe this, but you have we use a credit card as an illustration. You put the credit card way out in the distance, and it's small, but you can still see everything. The credit card is there. The weakness is there. But the more you bring it closer to your eye, you're focused on that, and that's all you're focused mm-hmm. on. And we ask couples all the time, what do you like about your spouse? What do you love about your spouse? What are their strengths? And sadly, especially the ones that are really in crisis, they just sit there in silence, like they cannot think of something. And because they've just become so overwhelmed with the negative, mm-hmm. they're focusing so much on the negative that they can't see any of the positive, any of the strengths.
Yeah, and I would think a lot of that too would be associated with bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this person has hurt me.
Yes.
And so now I'm bitter toward you. Not just hurt feelings, but now that's really settled
in. So they're seeing everything through that lens of bitterness and resentment.
Right. So how does a couple that is in that boat, Chris, how do they break out of that?
I think, once again, going back to nostalgia, going back to the beginning, going back to when you first fell in love. And also, we do something where we take them through, we call it, it's called Symbis. It's by Les and Leslie Parrott, Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts.
Mm-hmm.
And that will show the compatibility and show their strengths and how they are compatible and how they do, you know, God created them to work well together. And so kind of reminding them of those truths, getting them away from the conflict, getting them away from all the strife and negativity, and kind of pulling back a little bit, kind of like a 30,000 feet above, like getting a new perspective of the way things used to be, the way things can be again, mm-hmm. and trying to look at things from a different perspective.
Now, I know you do a lot of marriage counseling, and some people are really counseling averse. They mm-hmm. don't even know, oh, I'm not going to do that, mm-hmm. or whatever. What would you say to that, especially with guys? I don't think it's, the women are not the ones normally who are counseling averse, but a lot of husbands, I'm not going to go in there and talk to that guy about my marriage. I've said before from the pulpit, you know, you don't think twice if you have a broken arm to go to the doctor.
Right.
And if you have a broken marriage, you need to get some outside help.
Yeah, I mean, just getting rid of the stigma that there's, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged for having a struggle. I actually see that couple with more respect, you know, or that individual mm-hmm. with more respect that they had the courage to go and get help. And it is more difficult for the man, for the husband, because they say that, I think it's like 70% of counseling is initiated by the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's more averse to it than she is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it will work if you come and you get help, you get someone who isn't biased,
mm-hmm.
and just someone that can guide you and give you some advice and direction. I think that's going to help, because now you're paying attention to it again, and paying attention to it is going to lead to growth mm-hmm. and improvement.
Okay, you also talked about showing affection.
Mm-hmm.
And that, now that's different than sexual intimacy. You're just talking about holding hands, hugs, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
My wife, her love language is affection. And it's definitely, that's probably on the bottom for me, like the physical touch. But she needs that affection. So those long hugs, you know, those long hugs. So we have a rule that we tell couples about called the 9-second hug. And I don't know where we got this at some point down, you know, in the past, mm-hmm. but when you re-engage with your spouse, like say they've been at work or you've been at work and you get home, that you give each other a 9-second hug. And it's kind of like a fresh start, like we're together again. We are paying attention to one another again. We're putting everything else behind us. And now we're focusing in on each other and what the rest of the day holds.
Mm-hmm.
And so 9-second hug, try it. Just hug your spouse for 9 seconds, and there's a connection that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's showing affection. Yeah, but it's not necessarily sex, but it could be holding hands. It could be back rubs, foot rubs.
Well, and Chris, don't you think that from a man's perspective, if you start showing your wife affection, and if she is like your wife, that's high on her list of mm-hmm. you know, meaningful touch, that can lead to the physical act of marriage, and it's not going to hurt. It can sure help.
Yeah, and I don't remember the statistics, but it takes a woman a lot higher number of times to be touched, to have that affection, before she's wanting sex.
Uh-huh.
Where for him, not nearly as much. That's that whole thing where he's more of a microwave and she's more of a crock pot, you know.
Right.
But that's what could confuse men, because they're thinking this affection is foreplay leading to something.
Right.
And she's thinking of it as just, this is just affection. This is just our way of showing each other love.
Right.
And he's seeing it as like, this is leading to something.
Right.
Something more.
You it goes back to the selfishness thing.
Yeah.
And so if you'll do this as an act of meeting her needs, and not look at it like, what are you going to give me in return? You'll be amazed at how given it will be given to you.
Right.
But you're not giving to get. You're giving to be, out of love and
out of selfishness. Yeah, because oftentimes we love out of our own language. So whatever our language of love is, we show that to the other person. Mm-hmm. And so we have to think more about, again, yeah, like getting out of sight of self and thinking, what does she most prefer? What does he most prefer?
Mm-hmm. You asked a question when you taught this a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was a great question. Does your spouse get the crumbs or does your spouse get the very best?
Yeah. Because, you know, your work could be getting the very best of you and then you're exhausted at the end of a day and you have nothing left to give your spouse. Or the mom who stays at home with the children, and that is a very challenging job.
We've talked about
that's probably the most difficult job in America.
Right.
But or I guess any nation. but are you giving your best to that situation? You have nothing left to give your spouse. Because I do think it is the most important relationship. And I see a lot of families that are child-centered homes. And they need to be marriage-centered homes because the best thing you can give your children is a mommy and daddy that love each other, that are truly a husband and wife in the way that God intends. And because they're going to grow up, you only have them under your roof for a certain amount of time.
Right.
So they're going to grow up to be a husband and wife. They're going to get married. And so you want them to be the very best husband or wife that God wants them to be.
Well, and I think too, Chris, you know, there's seasons in marriage where the love life can suffer, sickness, pregnancy, and then when a wife is chasing little kids all day, I mean, she's just exhausted.
Would you say that that's the most challenging stage?
Time. It's
gotta
up
be up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe also at the end, like taking care of each other and physical sickness would be up there too.
Right. And I think that, you know, because when it comes to kids and pregnancy and stuff like that, the guy doesn't change and his needs haven't diminished. He doesn't have things going on in his body.
Right.
You know, like she does.
Yes.
And so to be patient with our wives, I think the other thing that is so critical is that couples don't communicate well.
Oh, yeah.
And the guys don't tell their wives, I have a physical need to be with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not good at being vulnerable like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And just all the connotations that has been put on that, all the negative connotations, but that is just a basic need in the way that we are created as by God, wired by God as men. And so it's not a sick thing or anything like that. It's just very natural and normal for the man to desire that.
Well, and all these things can really make a difference. You know, you start doing different things, and then boom, you start getting different results. You know, I think about the story that Tim LaHaye shared about the strengths versus weaknesses, and he talked about this guy in his church, Chris, that he challenged him, right? Give me 10 things you love about your wife.
Yes.
And the guy couldn't come up with anything. Yeah. He just sat there for a long time, and finally he came up with, well, she's good to my mother. And he's like, oh, great. But he finally came up with 10. He said, now, this is what I want you to do. He wrote those down on a 3x5 card. He said, now, 3 times a day, the scripture says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and everything give thanks for, this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. He said, thank God that you have a wife that's like this.
Right.
And so the guy started doing it. And Tim had told him, if you do that for 3 weeks, every day for 3 weeks, you'll fall madly in love with your wife. And the guy did it. And it didn't even take 3 weeks. In 2 weeks, he was in love with his wife because he started doing exactly what you said, started to focus on the things he loved about her, her strengths, not her weaknesses.
Well, I would make the argument that, and this comes in line with that, that attitude is the most important part of marriage. So your perspective, your response to circumstances and situations, because things are going to hit your marriage. That's life in general. So how you respond and your attitude and your perspective and just changing that perspective and being grateful for your spouse is going to go a long way.
Well, and expectations. So if you give all those expectations to God, and is it like we're talking about, well, I show you due affection, so you should give me affection in the bedroom type thing. If you give that expectation up, then you'll be blessed, because when you give with the right heart, right attitude, God does give back to you.
Well, the expectation a lot of times is a 50-50 mindset. If right. I go 50%, mm-hmm. she'll go 50% and we'll be good. It's not 50-50. Marriage is not 50-50. It's 100-100. Mm-hmm. And so you have this stalemate in marriages, like who's going to move first? Mm-hmm. And so I always say, who's more spiritually mature? And there's usually one that says, I am. I'm more spiritually mature. Okay, then it's your job to move first.
Right.
You know, ideally, the husband would be, because he's called to be the spiritual leader, mm-hmm. but sometimes that's not the case. But one of you has to take the first move. And right. you trust vertically, you trust God first before you can trust horizontally. But God will give you what you need to move towards your spouse.
Right. Well, and in 1 Peter chapter 3, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word mm-hmm. by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste.
That's 1 Peter 3.
3, 1 and 2.
That's good.
As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So a wife, when she starts to do her role as the helper, uh-huh. as the one that's to submit to her husband and to meet his needs and encourage him and do those things, she doesn't have to nag him. She doesn't have to preach at him.
Yeah.
She just supports him and loves him and be.
It's consistency. Right. I think that's the thing, is if she's consistently doing those things, that's what wins him over.
Right. And respect is so key for mm-hmm. a husband. Mm-hmm. Well, and just like a wife, what she longs for is love. That's why Ephesians 5, 3 times, love your wife, love your wife, love your wife. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And it is Valentine's Day, and we're talking about love. We're talking about how to keep the home fires burning. And as the many songs have been written, but the one that was made popular from the Tom Cruise movie, you've lost that loving feeling.
Top Gun.
How do you get it back when you've lost that loving feeling? Is it possible? And the answer is yes, but you have to do some things differently. So we'll be right back after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. Chris Schroeder. Hey, have you lost that loving feeling in your marriage? What do you do to get it back? As Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, you're doing good on a lot of things, but I have this against you that you've left your first love. How do you get that back? Well, remember from where you have fallen, Jesus said, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, Chris and I have been saying that obviously that was Jesus talking to the church, but Ephesians 5 says that the mystery is great. I'm speaking about husbands and wives, but it's also Christ and his church. And so that your marriage is a picture of your spiritual relationship with the Lord and his relationship with us. We are the bride of Christ. And so I've maintained, Chris, for a long time that one of the most important testimonies that a person can have is his marriage and family.
I agree.
If it's terrible, and this is what's strange is we have people in the church that seem so spiritual and so godly, but they can't make it work at home.
Mm-hmm. And we see that a lot.
Yeah, and it's sad. Sometimes they're doing, as you said, they're doing the right things, and their spouse is just mm-hmm. not having it. Mm-hmm. But other times they're different at home. Mm-hmm. They're not letting, you know, they're hearers of the word, but they're not doers of the word. Where the rubber meets the road is really at home.
So you may be able to put on a show for short periods of time, maybe, you know, while you're up in front or in church, but the ones that know you the best, that know you the closest, you know, the ones at home.
Well, okay, so I think about the pastor that is so well known and has had a very public meltdown, Bill Hybels.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hybels had a terrible marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make any bones about it when he was talking to these girls. He was trying to have
now,
a relationship.
From reading his material and listening to his sermons back in the day, he was very influential in my life when he was first starting in the early mid-90s, and I never would have guessed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the stuff that, you know, ended up coming up, especially about his personality and the way that he treated people and stuff. I wouldn't ever have guessed that.
Right. But just because somebody is a good Bible teacher, good preacher, mm-hmm. or maybe a good witness in terms of going out to on the street corner, is able to share the gospel really well, you know, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect at home. You have to work at it mm-hmm. to have a good marriage. And Chris, this Sunday, I'm going to talk about starting a marriage series and talk about looking for love mm-hmm. and how when you want to get married, you're not married yet. The choice you make is critical.
It's so important. So important.
Because if you, you know, a crude illustration, but if you buy the car that has been through the flood mm-hmm. and has major engine trouble, and I mean, you just know that car's going to be in the shop a lot.
Yeah, and I know it sounds so harsh, but I think there's a lot of truth. It's to look at their family of origin, look at where they came from. I'm not saying that God cannot change someone completely and, you know, give a fresh start, but that family of origin is a strong pull on their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at, for example, for the man looking for a wife, you look at her mother, and there's a very good possibility that she'll end up being like her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to look at those things, and you've got to really just analyze it and pray through it and make sure you're in the center of God's will as you're choosing a spouse. Because I think outside of making the decision to have a personal relationship with Jesus, I think the next important thing would be who you choose as a spouse.
Yeah, very, very important. And the compatibility, as you mm-hmm. have said, mm-hmm. is very important. Okay, so what do you do to bring back romance if your marriage has gotten stale? Well, number one, we said, was pay attention again and have those times of undivided attention, 15-minute face-to-face conversations are critical. Number two, focus on your spouse's strengths, not your spouse's weaknesses, because if you focus in on the weakness, your spouse becomes a big negative and nobody's attracted to a negative. Number three, show affection to your spouse and speak their love language. Chris, we hadn't talked a ton about that, but you know, the five different love languages, acts of service, meaningful touch, words of affirmation, gift giving, and quality time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, figure out your spouse's love language and then speak that language, even mm-hmm. if it's not yours, speak theirs. Mm-hmm. And that's a way to show affection. And
if you don't know what it is, ask your spouse, you know, when is it that you feel most loved by me? Mm-hmm. How am I doing at loving you? And for a wife, her number one need is to feel, like you said, loved. An even more accurate word would be cherished, mm-hmm. that she feels cherished, that there's no one more important to you than her and no priority more, you know, than her. Mm-hmm. And then for him, like you said, respect. And one of the best ways to show respect to your husband is shared activity. Mm-hmm. So we're very shoulder-to-shoulder activity-driven as men. And so doing something physical with him, some sort of activity with him, is a great
axe
way.
Axe throwing.
axe throwing. There you go. Not at each other, though.
Okay, so Debbie and I were in Austin last week, and I said, "Hey, let's go to Topgolf."
Okay.
You know, and we didn't stay long. We did like a 30-minute deal at the bay. But
did Debbie like that?
She didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't very good at it.
But you love that.
Yeah, but I like it.
Because she was doing that with you. She was doing an activity that you liked with you.
And I think for Debbie, she likes Top Golf better than actually going to the golf course.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know it's going to be shorter.
Right. And yeah, there's food involved. It's more fun. My wife, I'm very blessed that she actually does like watching sports. And
yes.
I wouldn't say as much as me, but she likes sports a lot. So we watch sports together.
She likes basketball?
She doesn't like playing sports. Uh-huh. Basketball is probably her least favorite, but I've introduced her to basketball. She didn't know that much about basketball.
So football and baseball, she'll watch that?
Yeah, and tennis. Those are her favorites. Yeah. So she legitimately likes watching. Not playing, but watching.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Debbie doesn't like playing, watching. Yeah, any of that.
All the above.
Yeah. Okay, so number four in how to get the romance back to your marriage, bring the excitement back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Chris, unpack that for us.
Well, this is the simple one. This is to have fun. Have fun in your marriage. Your marriage is designed for there to be fun. You know, Ecclesiastes 9:9 is a verse that I use. And I don't know, just recently, the last few weeks, that verse has just really been a great emphasis in my ministry. I really like that verse. It says, "Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun." Mm-hmm. So your spouse is a reward to you, a blessing to you. And I want to say, you know, to the wives, your job is to create an environment, a safe, grace-filled, fun environment in the home. I think that the environment mm-hmm. is more on the wife than it is on the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she can do that in the home. She can create that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife does a great job at that in creating a fun, safe environment at home, because mm-hmm. you have the toils of life. You know, we work, and that's what we do is we work. And then when we get home, it should be a relaxing, fun, mm-hmm. enjoyable place, not drudgery, you know, in mm-hmm. being at home. And so bring that excitement back. Have fun together. Be creative in your marriage. And like I said, there's people that would love to be married
mm-hmm.
that for whatever reason aren't able to be married, or maybe they've lost their spouse. And you get to be married is a blessing.
Right.
And so thinking of it in that way. You guys watch a lot of movies and...
We'll watch series and things together. Uh-huh. And it's been real cold, but we got to get back to walking together. That's a good time for couples to really talk.
I think that's the best. I think walking might be near the top, because you're actually, it's a physical activity, but you're side by side. Mm-hmm. So it really meets both needs.
Mm-hmm. And then you're... conversing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So, yeah, Debbie loves that. And Debbie's love language has really gotten to be quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And so she really likes, like when we went to Austin, she said, "I like this because then nobody knows you here in Austin, and it's just great for me to have time with you, just you and me."
I believe it's really good to have something that you're looking forward to, like a trip. So I always ask couples, like, is there something you're looking forward to? I think that makes life just much more tolerable, enjoyable, when you have something that you, mm-hmm. in 2 weeks, we're heading to Austin, we're going to Branson, we're going to this or that. Even if it's a couple months out, mm-hmm. then you're shooting for that, because life can be just, you know, just routine and drain. And so having things that you're looking forward to, and you've got to be intentional about that, setting up fun. You know, I'm looking forward to Friday night. We're doing a marriage conference, but we've got childcare, so we have a hotel and we're going to go out mm-hmm. to eat. And so we look forward to those things. Those are exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so having things to look forward to as husband and wife, I think, is great.
Well, Louis Miori, who's my good friend, he was the counselor at Champion Forest Baptist Church for a long, long time, still does a lot of counseling. But he would always tell couples, listen, you need date night once a week, and you need an overnight once a quarter.
Yeah.
And he said, so save up for that. You know, if money's tight, that's a good investment. And so don't look at it as, well, we can't afford the $200 or whatever it's going to cost for us to go out of town. You don't have to go far out of town.
Right.
You're staying in town, right?
Yeah, we're staying in town. So the conference got moved to our own town, but we're like, well, we've got childcare, and so we're going to make this happen.
Right.
You know, so we're not going anywhere exotic. We're going to Texarkana.
But yeah, who doesn't want to go to Texarkana?
And the best thing to do in Texarkana is eat.
Yeah.
You know, so eating out is fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Okay, and then this was the last one that you shared, Chris, was work at being one in spirit. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Well, you know, there was a line in a movie, it was called Jerry Maguire. It was a sports agent, Tom Cruise, and he had this line where he said, him and the love interest was Renee Zellweger. They said, you complete me, mm-hmm. you complete me. And it sounds so romantic and so—
You're my density.
So Valentine's Day, but— It's not good theology. No person should complete us.
Right.
And so looking to have that expectation that your spouse is going to complete you, you know, what's the Rocky line? You have...
Oh, gaps.
Gaps.
Yeah, she has gaps, I have gaps. Together we fill gaps.
Right, right. It's like that, like this mindset that you're going to complete each other. Uh-huh. Marriage is two whole people coming together. So in Fireproof, they have the scene of the salt and pepper mm-hmm. being stuck together. And the salt is... you know, is a spice in itself, and the pepper is a spice in itself, and they're good on their own, but together they're better. They're right. best when they're together. And so that's what marriage should be, two whole people coming together to become a mighty force together, mm-hmm. not completing one another. So becoming one in spirit. And the best way to become one in spirit is to pray together.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know it sounds super spiritual, but I would say that would be my number one piece of advice for any married couple. Couples that pray together, stay together.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's nothing that draws you together like prayer.
Well, and Chris, it's easy, even for pastors, you know, we know that, but we get busy with things, and then you're just praying kind of before meals.
Yeah.
Which is not, it's not bad.
Right.
But it's not quite the same as what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, Lord bless this food. Thank you for it. Amen. You know, right. I mean, it's short. You need some time with your spouse to really pray through things. It doesn't have to be, you know, an hour long mm-hmm. session, but I liked what one couple was saying. They pray sentence prayers back and forth.
Yeah, I like that.
So nobody just kind of hogs the prayer time. So you pray a sentence about our child or about our marriage or about our finances or whatever, and we go back and forth, and we do that maybe for 4 or 5 minutes, and then we say amen.
Yeah, exactly. I think consistency is more important than the length of time or some mm-hmm. deep theological prayer, but just be consistent. And if you miss one day, don't make it 2 days. You know, just do the next day and have a consistent time. Some couples do it in the morning,
mm-hmm.
quick prayer before they get the day going, or some at the end of the day. We do the end of the day, but you know, you're tired at that point, so it's not an elaborate, long prayer.
Right.
But honestly, anything is better than nothing.
Still doing it. Yeah.
You're still doing it. So that consistency, and you have needs. Both of you have needs. Both of you have things that you're concerned about. You're praying for your children. You're praying for your job situations. We all have things that we need to pray about.
I like what Bill McCartney, the guy that started Promise Keepers.
Who just passed away.
Yeah.
Recently.
He said in one of the Promise Keepers things, this was years ago, but he challenged all the guys. He said, guys, before you leave in the morning, put your hands upon your wife, lay your hands on your wife, and just pray 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute over her, that God would bless her, that God would protect her, that God would give her wisdom, that God would give her strength, taking care of the kids, all those different things. He said, you would be amazed at how much that ministers to her.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that her husband is thinking about her, praying for her, and praying over her.
I think the prayer is so important because, well, first of all, of course, you're involving God. God's involved now in your marriage. But also, when we pray, we're most vulnerable. We're praying about things that we normally don't maybe even talk about. Mm-hmm. But now we're praying about it, so it makes us vulnerable, and that vulnerability unites us. And men especially have trouble, you know, we have trouble a lot of times sharing our emotions. And so so prayer is a way that makes us vulnerable and makes us open up with one another.
Amen. Well, Chris, thanks so much for being my guest today, and thank you for your wisdom. Hey, God wants you to have a great marriage. And so no matter where you are, start today in doing those things that will keep the home fires burning brightly once again. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.